Hi, this is Nick. Today we're going to be discussing emptiness. And emptiness is a common topic that comes up in spiritual circles. But depending on the tradition, they may have different meanings. This can be really confusing for a seeker. I know it was very confusing for me. Some traditions explain that emptiness is a quality. Some explain that it is an experience itself. And so this can be very confusing. So we're going to be breaking down this topic and talking about how it applies to the path of knowledge. So in the path of knowledge, a common question that will come up is, why do we say that the essence of this existence is emptiness? What does that really mean? And just like in every other discussion regarding the path of knowledge, it's really important to define our terms first. So when we say the existence is empty, what do we mean by the existence? The existence is everything that is. So imagine everything that can arise or will arise, that is the existence. And there's two sides to the existence. We see experiences coming and going, that's self-evident. And we also see there is an experiencer of those objects or experiences. So we see there's two sides, an experiencer and experience. And those two things make up the existence. And so starting with those experiences that are arising, we can say that those experiences that are arising are empty. And what are they empty of? That is the question. So, at a very basic level, at the most minute subatomic level, we see that the concept of material objects or independently existing objects or substance breaks down. So, we see in quantum physics, quantum mechanics, that at a certain level, there's only smears of probability that can be measured. There's not even a particular substance. And so we say that within this existence, there is only probabilities at the most basic level. Now this, again, this is a more of a science or a theory to explain the experience. But even if we look at our direct experience, we see constantly changing objects. We see constantly changing experiences. They come, they go. Nothing will stay. The body, which we think to be ourselves, changes every day. Our thoughts change every moment. And nothing is permanent or independently existing in this experience. And if we say that, you know, change is the only thing that we perceive in this experience, we're just perceiving change and change and change, the same must be occurring at the most basic level as well. And that probability, that most basic probability, we can call change. And that change, we also can call a vibration. And those vibrations are what make up this experience. And again, we're getting into theory a bit here, but we're explaining why we say that this experience is empty. And to go further, how are these vibrations sensed? Well, we know that there are the senses themselves, which are experiences that are arising, and those same senses are made from those same vibrations or potential. So it's emptiness sensing emptiness. It's our senses, which are empty, sensing vibrations, which again are empty of any independently existing material substance. It's really fascinating to think about. And science tells us this. This isn't spiritual mumbo jumbo. There's emptiness sensing emptiness, which is just a miracle to begin with. So we can say that this experience is empty based on that discussion. Now let's take the other side of the existence, which is the experiencer. And when we look at our experience again, we can't find that experiencer anywhere. Everything is changing. And anything that we can look at and say, hey, I think that's the experiencer. I think this body must be the experiencer, or this mind. Well, we have to ask the question, well, what is actually experiencing that body or the mind? And as we progress through this process, which is known as neti neti, not this, not this, we find that when everything is discarded as not us, the only thing that remains is pure subjectivity. Nothing at all, actually, just pure subjectivity. If you can place a characteristic upon that observer, it then becomes an experience. So we know, based on that, that the experiencer is empty of any objective feature. It's empty of any substance, just like the experience. It's empty of any particular substance. It's non-local, meaning we can't identify it in space. If you tried to identify it, again, who is identifying that location in space? It is non-temporal, meaning that you cannot find a beginning or an end. If you see that beginning or the end, who is actually the one experiencing it? It's acausal. You can't find a cause for the experiencer, again, because if you see that cause, who again is experiencing that? So it's always behind the experience. It's never in the experience. And it's completely empty of any features. So we see that both sides of the existence, both the experience and the experiencer, are empty, completely empty of any substance. Now, when we take the next step and we see that the experiences that we think we're having that are separate from the experiencer, that's actually also an illusory division. We can never say that an object is arising without the experiencer. Is there anything to an object other than the experiencing or knowing of the object? And that is what brings us to oneness. And so what we're doing is we're essentially adding zero plus zero to make zero. There's emptiness experiencing emptiness. There's zero experiencing zero. And that absence of substance, that absence of any particular feature, that in many circles, in many traditions, and also in the path of knowledge, you know, we call that lack of objective features as blissful. There's neither happiness nor sadness. There's pure bliss, and that is the experiencer. And the essence of that experiencer is emptiness. And again, the essence of this existence is also featureless. It is completely empty. And so it's important to go through this reasoning to reach that definition of emptiness. If we only have a partial understanding of emptiness, this can cause some distress for a spiritual seeker or even a non-spiritual seeker. So for instance, if a spiritual seeker says to a non-spiritual seeker, this existence is empty, none of these things exist, that non-seeker is probably going to have a negative reaction to that statement or to that seeker. They're going to think, wow, this person's very nihilistic, very negative. And for the seeker, this can also occur as we progress on our spiritual path, that we develop this aversion to the world because we want something from it, but we realize that it's empty of any independent existence, of any substance. And what's happened there is a partial knowledge. We've applied this concept of emptiness to what we think is the external world, but there is an ego that's having a bit of a, I would say, grieving process. This ego still wants something tangible and beneficial to its survival from this existence. And so the ego is hiding behind the veil of a spiritual seeker and saying, this world, this existence is empty. There's nothing good in this for me. I'm going to go off to the mountains or into a monastery and completely denounce society. That means that there's probably still some identification with ego. And we've realized that we have not yet realized that this concept of emptiness applies not only to what we perceive as the world, but to the very basic sense of self, which is the ego. And this happens frequently in, for instance, some of the meditative paths. It's actually built into some of the schema or frameworks for progressive meditation. For instance, in the Theravada and Buddhist tradition, there are multiple stages of insight that occur. And as you progress on that path, you begin to have these realizations about what we thought reality was. And we start to see that it's impermanent, that it's a cause for our stress. And we see that a lot of these things that we thought were us, such as our mind, our body, are not. And as those insights arise, if there isn't complete knowledge or self-realization that we are pure emptiness or we are pure experiencer of this experience, there can be a lot of stress and strife. And that occurs for many meditators. And so I do think that the strategy of the path of knowledge, which is get the knowledge first, figure out who you are, gain the self-knowledge first, reduce the ignorance as much as possible before proceeding. I think that that is the best way to try to reduce this identification with ego and our natural habit of trying to find things that are beneficial to this ego. And when the ego starts to see that the world is empty, it's not going to have a meltdown and get upset about that. It's going to say, okay, the world is empty, so am I. Let's rest in that peace. Let's rest in that emptiness. So again, the concept of emptiness can be quite confusing. I don't claim to know the origins of the word. I'm not going to go into each tradition's interpretation of emptiness. But this comes down to self-realization and the most basic direct teaching of the path of knowledge. This is why it's called the direct path. We recognize our true self. Our self is the experiencer, is empty of any particular feature. This body and mind, this ego who we thought we were, is also empty, and we are only the experiencer of those. So I hope that this discussion was helpful for someone out there who may be somewhat confused about the term emptiness. If there's any questions about this, if there's any discussion, please feel free to send me an email, and I will be sure to respond. Have a great day.